Time now for your letters. I enjoyed listening to David Schultz, director of the Infrastructure Technology Institute at Northwestern University, writes Cameron Brooks. However, I was disappointed that after offering detailed and insightful analysis on other topics, his commentary regarding alternative forms of energy was so lacking. By focusing on one high-profile wind farm development, Cape Winds off Cape Cod, he ignored the myriad other efforts underway throughout the country. While one wind farm is facing opposition, hundreds of other projects have been successfully cited, making wind the fastest growing source of energy. He failed to state that 12 states have dedicated nearly $4 billion to invest in clean power over the next decade, or that the energy bill passed by the Senate calls for 10% of the nation's electricity to come from new renewable energy sources by 2020. His otherwise insightful commentary leaves listeners with the impression that efforts to develop clean sources of energy have been unsuccessful. In contrast, these efforts have been effective and pervasive. And Marilyn Gilday of Mountain View, California, added this note: "The opposition to putting wind generators off the coast of Cape Cod because it would ruin the view rings a bell. Wasn't the same argument made to the building of the Eiffel Tower, the Golden Gate Bridge, and the Chrysler Building?" And we received much email about the short interview with Ted DeNugent on the Great Rhode Island Accent Reduction Program he runs. Rick Usifer of South Windsor, Connecticut, spoke for many when he wrote, "Your story on accent removal made me very sad. As our nation turns into a bland, grayish melting pot of Walmarts, McDonald's, and commercial announcers, the last things we need to lose are our accents. Why promote the idea that people who don't pronounce their R's are somehow inferior or unsuccessful? Diversity is not a dirty word. I'm also sorry you had to lose your accent. However, your profession may be the only one where you must sacrifice a little individuality in the name of objectivity, journalistic and/or phonetic." Finally, Liz Streithorst of Moselle, Mississippi, put a smile on our faces with this note: "I was listening closely to Tim Brooks' essay on memory, as I suffer from the same affliction. Then he said something that made me just a little uncomfortable. He called his daughter by the name of his younger sister because they shared the same qualities. This explains why my own mother often called me Tilly. Tilly was the name of the family dog." Whomever you were named for, we welcome your mail. Write to us. Our email address is wesun@npr.org. Once again, that's WESUN@npr.org.